Coming up on this episode of Traveling with the Mouse, we have a little bit of news we're going to cover in a slow news week, but then we're going to talk a little bit about attractions that we would bring back if money were no option. That's next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 440 of Traveling with a Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my esteemed co-host, Mr. Adam.
What's up, everybody?
How are things going in your world?
Good. Like, so far, I've avoided getting sick. Like, seems like everybody's getting something.
Yeah, I've had a little bit of something here, which delayed the recording of this by a day.
Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Our friend Jason has actually, he went to cruise on the Magic.
But yeah. Maybe it was Magical.
Magical on the Magic. The original cruise ship.
Mm-hmm. Does that one only go out of, like, it doesn't just do New Orleans, I'm sure, but does it do mostly Western Caribbean stuff?
I think that, they've moved it as they added new ships in. They've moved the itineraries of them.
Right. So
it used to do a lot of Miami trips, but I think they've kind of moved
the Dream. The Dream is Miami,
Right. The Dream and the Fantasy, I think, are both being moved. But the Fantasy still currently does Canaveral until the next ship really gets going.
Yeah. I forgot. Which one does the Europe ones? Is it the Fantasy that does those?
Well, the Fantasy, I don't think does, unless it takes a certain time of year. It has been the Wonder, but I don't know if they're changing it up.
Oh, maybe. Okay. Well, it was one that did, maybe it's the Wonder that does Barcelona and stuff, because I've been looking at those.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah.
As of right now, the Wish has kind of taken over what the Dream's previous spot was, that tenure of the 3 and 4 night cruises to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's expected to be is the Treasure is going to take the Fantasy spot in Port Canaveral as the 7 night ship. So, I don't know what the Fantasy's tenure's itinerary is going to be after that point.
It'll be interesting.
I imagine it's going to move to a Miami on a regular basis, some of the other ones did, but I don't really know for sure. I can't remember. I think they've announced it, but I don't remember what it was. But anyway, we're not talking about cruises today. Let's get into what we really are going to talk about. In the news, Disney's affordable housing project nearly passes a vote despite strong resident opposition. It passed on a 4-3 margin. So this is for getting the area set up and zoned properly to allow for the development of what they're calling mixed income housing development, with the majority of the units being for families that make 50 to 100% of the area median income.
Okay, so affordable.
So apparently in Florida, HUD defines AMI to be $85,500, and Orange County slightly higher at $85,700. That means that a family of four would make between $43,900 and $85,700 to qualify for affordable housing.
Okay.
Single person would need to make a minimum of $30,750 to qualify for Disney World's affordable housing project.
Yeah, it's not bad.
We are planning on making it truly affordable, which we kind of joked about.
Right. So Disney and affordable are not two things you normally say at once.
Right. So it says the total qualifying income range across family types will be from $30,750 to $115,000. So it's a pretty wide range, actually. I mean, that's almost the, lower class to upper middle, right?
Sure.
Okay. Or maybe, I say upper middle, maybe middle.
Right. Yeah, what is middle class anymore?
I don't know. It's hard to call.
Yes.
So in total, it calls for 1,410 units and the development, 1,000 units dedicated to affordable housing. Of the 1,000 units, the majority will be dedicated to families in the 80% AMI range that we were just talking about. Only 11% of the affordable housing units will be allocated for families at the lowest allowable AMI range.
Hey.
And of course, when cast members would be allowed to apply, it will not be
strict
cast member exclusive.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully some cast members can take advantage of that, because we know Disney doesn't pay them all very well.
It's improved.
It's definitely improved, but they don't all make the whatever the median income is that you were just talking about. They don't all get paid that much.
Probably not. This coming Wednesday, Central Florida Tourism Oversight Board of Supervisors will meet in a closed-door session to discuss the ongoing litigation between Disney and the district. The notice says the closed-door session will be for the board to meet with its lawyers to discuss strategy and settlement negotiations related to litigation expenditures in three of the ongoing lawsuits. We kind of thought it would come to this to some degree. I just don't know what the settlement, I mean, what their idea of settlement is at this point, but we kind of figured it would come to something. I said it not too long ago. This is kind of fading into the background as it is.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, it would be nice if you could, like, maybe split the board with Disney and then the state, what do you call them?
Appointed members?
Board. Yeah, like, have at least Disney have half the board or something.
Well, now that DeSantis' presidential bid is over, I think everybody's going to be slightly more reasonable. I'm not saying for sure, but, you know, I feel like they're going to be probably more amicable about this when it's all said and done. But, I mean, I don't rule it out of it still being pretty nasty, but
who knows?
I just got a feeling because, you know, we kind of talked about this before. A lot of it was him kind of building his, what he was going to run on.
Right, his case, yeah, for presidential case.
Or and then when that didn't work out, you know.
Yeah, now it's like, what's the point of continuing this?
Yeah.
What good does it do you?
Apparently, America wants to be run like a nursing home. Anyway.
Okay. Wait. I'm
sorry, did I say that out loud?
You mean run by a nursing home by the people from the nursing home?
I guess. Inmates running the asylum.
Right. Okay.
So new scaffolding arrives as facade work continues for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. It's really starting to take shape now. Have you taken a look?
I have looked at some recent stuff. Yeah, it
looks very greeny.
Yeah, like I said last week, it looks like a Bob Ross painting come to life here.
Yeah, starting to look lush.
Just like put a little phthalo green up there on it. Anyway, that's what it looks like he did.
So this one was a little interesting. A former Imagineer says that a third ride for Galaxy's Edge was budget cut and scrapped after being pretty far along.
Yeah.
Which I don't know. And he says it was a Bantha ride. I don't know. That sounds like that was cut just from the idea.
Right. I don't know how far it got, but I actually do recall that piece of concept art. Not the one that's like the up close one, but there's that one of Galaxy's Edge at night. I more remember the like shuttle Tidarium or like the, it looked like it was like Vader's shuttle instead of what became
Kylo's
TIE fighter or whatever. I remember that because that was like, I loved the shuttle Tidarium from Return of the Jedi, but
that was before they decided to say nope, nothing classic.
Right. That was like, yeah. So that would have been awesome, honestly, if they put that in there because that would be, but. In the bottom of that concept art is like you can clearly see it's like a Bantha looking thing with like a carriage on top of it or whatever you want to call it where people would ride in it. But conceptually, this would have had like a capacity of like what four people at a time or something. It just wouldn't have really.
They could have made a lot of them.
I guess.
How interesting can you make a Bantha ride? I mean, seriously.
I don't know, but I think, didn't it say something like it was going to take off from where the current, like where Rey and Chewie do a thing sometimes where there's over by, I think there's like Speeders parked there now or something, right? It's right before you, it's kind of near the, across from the Droid Depot and all that.
Right.
Whatever.
Okay.
It was like just going to go in a big circle or something and come back or I forgot what it was.
Yeah, see, it doesn't seem like very. Not only that, did they scrap it because, hey, did we put Banthas in the sequels?
Right. No, right.
You're probably thinking about that. That's probably another thing they thought of. I was like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't use Banthas.
Yeah. I bet early on it was going to be way more not. Well, we already knew the Imagineers wanted to go in a more old school Star Wars vibe. But the rumors are that it was Kathleen Kennedy that, no, we got to go with the new stuff. So all that stuff changed, yeah. That's the rumor anyway. I've heard
Well, that's probably, it could just be because that's who Star Wars fans like to blame, but.
Right. That's why I didn't want to like say it as if it was fact, but the Star Wars people are the ones that are claiming that she's the, you know, the one that changed the direction, but the Imagineers originally wanted it to be more old school Star Wars.
You know, that brings an interesting point because I think we talked about this. Did we talk about this last time? I think we brought it up at least, how they could potentially expand Galaxy's Edge to cover the area where the Star Cruiser is.
Yeah,
you know, right. maybe expand it in that sense and make it a little larger. I don't know what else you put out there. I mean, Hollywood Studios could definitely use the space.
That's true.
As far as expansion goes, I don't know about making it more Star Wars. It's just the easiest way to expand because of the location, you know. Right.
And the easiest entry point to an expanded land is where the Star Cruiser, you know, where the guests coming off of the Star Cruiser came into Galaxy's Edge, like right by the, kind of right, like where Kylo's ship is, like to the left of it, if you're facing it.
Maybe you could almost create like a second entrance.
Yeah. You could continue going further in and it'd be interesting.
Yeah. Why does Epcot get to be the only one with two entrances?
Right. I mean, there's a service road back there that I think cast member parking, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
But you just have to find a way to reroute that or maybe the guests go over it or something in some way. I don't know.
I mean, they could have found a way to make Magic Kingdom two entrances, right? That would have been
the why not?
Yes.
Where would they put a second entrance?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
there's nothing around it except the Contemporary. I mean, you could walk.
Technically, in Disneyland, you have two ways in. You have the monorail, which ends up in Tomorrowland, and then you have the front gate. So
originally, wasn't Magic Kingdom supposed to have something like that, where the resort,
the monorail was supposed to stop in there, or the resort?
Something like that. I know there was supposed to be the resort north of Contemporary,
where you could just walk in, kind of like you do with the Grand Californian.
Yeah, which you kind of can for the Contemporary, I guess, and Grand Floridian technically.
Yeah, but the Grand Californian, you literally can walk right in. I mean, the resort goes right up to the park, pretty much.
Yeah, right. It's kind of in the park almost.
Yeah, it's a part of that section.
Maybe they should do that with. I mean, what happened to that resort that was supposed to go like at the entrance of Epcot? Like was supposed to be.
Oh, that you're talking about? You're going way back now with all these.
Well, it was like 5 years ago or something. It was pre-COVID when they were rumored that they were going to do that. Oh well,
right there where the monorail station is,
something like that, or in that area, or like behind the Living Seas, but like close enough to walk right in.
Where it could have a monorail.
Yeah, could be a monorail resort in a way.
Yeah. So let's go through a little more of this.
Yeah.
Before we go too deep. I know this is probably the most depressing piece of news that we have this week. Disney files permit for demolition at former NBA experience in Disney.
Oh man!
So they're gonna demolish. Is that the whole thing?
I guess. Yeah,
that's kind of interesting because it wasn't called demolition when they changed it. All they did was gut Disney West.
Yeah, I don't know.
So,
it's just surprising though that Iger's back. And they're still going through with this instead of him like reopening it at a like huge loss of profit every year just because he likes the NBA so much.
Yeah. Yeah. That was one that he was trying to, I guess, put his passion into that.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have tried it one time, but again, it's one of those things I never really got to.
I probably would have enjoyed it actually, but yeah. I think they charged way too much for it, if I remember right, too. It wasn't like cheap.
The general construction demo lists the contractor as Adena, which apparently did installation of Toy Story Land and Guardians. So I don't know, but they're just demolishing it, right?
I don't know. It's a big space. What are they going to do? But put more restaurants? They need something at Disney Springs besides just restaurants, though, right? They have Cirque du Soleil, but that's like, you know, it's an expensive show. So it's like they need something else you can do that's not just shopping or eating, right?
Yeah.
So I like that they had this. It's just, I don't know. They need something.
Yeah, I mean, that there's such a big building. If it's going to be demolished, that would seem like a big waste, really. That building's been there for over 20 years.
But you could fit like 5 restaurants in their space. Just do that.
No, let's don't do that.
There, okay, 4 restaurants in 1 shop.
Even as good as the restaurants in Disney Springs can be, I don't think they need to add more. I don't think they have enough at the moment.
Sidebar on that. Like, when I think of places to eat at Disney, Disney Springs isn't normally, like, top of my mind.
Well,
I like Disney Springs, but it's not like when I, like, oh, I can't wait to go back to eat at blank, because it's, like, it's okay, you know, it's okay, but...
White Pig?
Yeah, but it's, like, I could okay. Like, if I'm in Epcot, I'll just eat Regal Eagle, and it's not as good as White Pig, but it's not terrible.
Right.
I'm not going to go out of my way to go to Polite Pig if I'm, you know, I don't know. I guess my point is it's not a destination for me every time.
Right.
So, and there's nothing that really stands out, whereas, like, I can think of
I don't think I've tried enough places.
I mean, I've tried several, but it's, I don't know. They're not, like, my favorite places. I'd rather eat at a resort or even in the parks.
Right.
It's just me, though.
Right. Well, the resorts, the deluxe resorts do offer
some of the... I think they're better restaurants.
Or Epcot.
Yeah. I think they're better than most places at Springs, but that's just me.
Yep. So this past week, one of the things the President's Day was part of this past week. And so in doing so, Genie Plus returned to Thanksgiving levels. And interestingly enough, I don't think that day was that bad, but I mean, it was, of course, it was still a holiday weekend, right?
Yeah. So they're just going to charge holiday rates.
Yeah. Yeah. However, the day that I saw that seemed to be really busy at Magic Kingdom especially was the following Wednesday, which was kind of unusual.
I did notice that. I seemed like later in the President's Day week was way busier than the actual holiday day, if I remember right. But
it's almost like people were kind of like, well, we know it's going to be a little busier during a holiday. Maybe right after it won't be so bad. And then all of a sudden, enough people took that strategy that made it.
Yeah.
That made it bad.
And I know that Sunday, if I remember correctly, it was it the Sunday or the Saturday that it rained all day.
Yeah.
And
probably made a difference.
Yeah. I know somebody who was there and they were like, we didn't need the Genie Plus. I think they bought it, but they were like, nope, there was hardly anybody there because the rain drove everybody away.
Rain does keep people away.
Yeah.
I saw, what was it, around that same time? I think it was Adam the Woo's video when he went there in the rain. Did you see that?
Yes. I did watch that.
He was like the only person on the outside, right? It's like Dumbo. Right. And,
yeah.
Barnstormer, stuff like that.
Yeah.
He rode those things with a punch.
He made the comment, which is pretty true. It's like you get wet and that initial, like, ugh, I don't like getting wet. But then
once you're wet.
Wet for an hour, it's like, well, let's just keep going.
It's like, who cares? Whoopee.
Right. You're not miserable until you're like trying to get back to your car or hotel or whatever.
Are you getting the freezing room?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you walk into the 58-degree air-conditioned room, and you're like, frozen. Yep.
You're like Han Solo?
Yeah. It's frozen in carbonite.
Yes.
I don't mind it.
So it says Disney commits to investing billions, supposedly.
Supposedly.
Despite Reedy Creek changes.
Right.
It says they've recommitted, creating 13,000 new jobs at Walt Disney World over the next decade. And of course, then again, we happen to know how their future visions and the reality of most things they do, how it turns out. They dream big and then they deliver.
Way less.
Yeah. Just lower your expectations for the actual delivery.
Right. Everything gets scaled back.
Yeah, gets scaled down. Not
Toy Story Land.
They still do it better than anyone else most of the time. But
sure, yeah,
things do get
Toy Story Land and Galaxy's Edge in particular definitely got scaled back quite a bit from what they originally had. As we talked about with the Bantha thing, which I don't think that made it very far, to be honest, but...
No. Yeah, because I don't even remember us talking about it originally.
Yeah.
So it didn't make it into the announced concepts.
Yeah. I think it just showed up on the concept art, but I don't think they had mentioned exactly what it was yet.
Yeah.
Maybe they did. I don't know. I have to go back and look at D23.
Speaking of things we haven't talked about in a while, is the Spaceship Earth revamp just totally been canceled altogether, or is it still on hold? Is it one of those things they hope people forget about?
I mean, it's part of their billions that they're going to
invest,
right?
Yeah. All right.
We'll see.
Well, let's see. What was it? In April, Iger said that they would be investing $17 billion over the next decade. Then in September, he said that it would be investing $60 billion within its theme park division. So it seems like that's kind of interesting. Would nearly double Disney's investment in the division as Iger and company aim to turbocharge investment in the profitable division, which I guess that means the parks are their profitable division currently.
Right.
Which is so bizarre because it used to be just the other way around. Like it was the movie and television that was their most profitable and right. The parks were kind of a commodity.
This turbocharge is not going to be anytime soon, I can tell you that.
Right now it's a lot of talk.
Yeah, so. It's a lot of talk and zero action. So
yeah. So I don't know if I'm saying this right. The Neytiri sculpture removed from Wind Traders in Pandora, although I don't know why.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was moved last August when it was displaced by a floating mountain merchandise display, but it was later removed from the shop completely. I guess I never really paid much attention to this because, I mean, I don't spend a whole lot of time in that shop as it is.
Yeah, it's an okay shop, but I don't really love the Avatar that much to where I'm like, oh, I got to buy stuff.
Right. It's kind of like what I said. I said, I think people are more a fan of the Flight of Passage experience than they are the theming. They could have themed it to just about anything, and people would have liked that ride.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It works well with Avatar. Don't
sure,
get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I think the experience itself meant more than what they themed it to.
I mean, there's going to be like five more movies, so maybe it'll be
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of the franchise anyway, but I really hate that they're going to bury it like that by putting more new films out. I just hate to see a franchise get buried that way because more is not better.
Right. I mean, these movies have made a lot of money and they're popular, I guess, but they're not like Harry Potter. They're not like Star Wars. They're not like even the Toy Story franchise. If we're talking about lands that...
Which doesn't need another movie either.
Right. Although, have you heard what who knows if this is true, but apparently Tim Allen's pitch for Toy Story 5, I thought it was actually pretty cool. I don't know, again, this may not be true, it could have just been completely made up, but...
Oh, Buzz has a pitch?
Yeah, apparently Tim Allen made a pitch.
Okay.
And the pitch is that Andy's back, and he's...
As an adult?
Yeah, like he's already out of college, he's got a family of his own, he's starting to have kids now, and he wants his kids to play with the toys that he grew up with. So he's trying to find his toys again, like trying to get them back.
Oh.
And, you know, Woody's gone right now with Bo Peep. And so part of the story is that assuming like Bonnie might be old enough to be in college and she's done with them, she gives them back. But then he doesn't have Woody and Bo Peep. So they're on a quest to go find them or whatever.
Ah.
So it'd be interesting.
That kind of could be a good story.
Yeah. I think there might be something there. It might be interesting. And then it kind of goes full circle with Andy Jr. or something. There is. Who knows?
Andy Jr.
Whatever you want to call it. But yeah. So I thought it would be cool. Again, who knows if this is completely made up or if it's actually
legit, I mean, whoever
but...
pitched that idea actually did a pretty good one to me.
I know.
I mean,
I thought it was like, that actually
no matter
makes
who pitched
cool
it.
Story. You know, I would watch that. I think it'd be cool. But
sounds like a good story.
Yeah.
So, let's see. It's kind of, like you said, kind of a slow news week overall.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah, and one, you know, we were talking about it being busier in the week than it was on President's Day itself.
Yeah. Yeah, it did seem
so. There was this one video I see where it talked about Peter Pan's flight and about how insane the line was. This looks like still morning, but oh, and Genie Plus sold out before the park opened that day too.
Oh, really? What day?
Yes, that was Wednesday.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was Tuesday or Wednesday. I don't really have the specific date right here. So the line for Pan. Okay, the walkway between Pan and Small World heads toward Carousel and then makes a U-turn before utilizing the intended extra queue past the tap point.
Oh, wow.
So,
for the lightning lane?
Yes.
Golly. Okay.
I believe the regular queue would have been better at that point.
Who knows?
I just can't figure out why this ride has that long of a line. I mean, I get it's a good, don't get me, it's still a good attraction, but I mean, is it worth the what people go through?
Yeah, I mean, it's, what, a 3-minute, 4-minute, something like that?
Yeah. I would think a lot of these people that get in this for that, because they hear about it, and they know it's a popular one you have to get and everything, and then they do it, and they're probably like, I did all this for this? I wonder, I mean, you know there's got to be a lot of people that felt that way.
I mean, I've done this, obviously I've done this a lot, and my favorite is the beginning, and then when you get to London, that's the coolest of the Disney World version is London, where you're over the city and you're seeing it in miniature. But once you get past that, it's like those, especially those animatronics of the Peter Pan at the end, and they're not great. they're probably the exact same from 1971. So,
yeah, I could use a little bit of an overhaul.
Because all he does is. From the
very limited motion,
where he's at the helm, his head just
and there's snips. a whole lot of dialogue in there too. All right,
yeah, that's it.
There's a whole lot of dialogue in there. I was like, "Here we go."
Yes,
come on, everybody, here we go. And then what else?
When they're doing the sword fighting too, it's like you hear the sword fighting, but it's like they're like back and forth. They're like it doesn't match the sound, but I guess it's like it's almost like that storybook thing
back
where
then.
You remember those like cassette tape, book on tapes that you?
Yes.
You had to use your imagination though to like.
Yes.
That's what it reminds me of when I'm on Peter Pan.
Help me, Mr. Smee, help me.
And then when every time you hear the chime, cring, you turn the page. You know, one of those.
Yes, that's
books
right.
On tape.
Oh yeah, that's going way back.
Shring.
Yeah.
When you hear the chime.
I'm coming, Captain. That's all he ever says over and over again.
Right. Yeah. Anywho, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it is unique still, I guess, in that there's not really one that flies over something like that, right? I don't guess they have anything else. Now they do more like more simulated flying, like soaring over California or soaring around the world.
It's technically Disney's only inverted roller coaster, if you will.
It was a hanging.
Kind of.
It's a hanging Omnimover. It's similar. Actually, it does. It takes a similar track concept to Horizons.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Because that one hung.
It was like the early days of Horizon.
If only they had the capacity of Horizons, then they would be like never a wafer.
Right. At least the one in Florida is constantly moving. I think isn't the one in Disneyland stop and let people?
Yeah, I think
along?
They do something.
Yeah, I think it does.
Yeah, at least it keeps moving, but. Anyway,
talking about flight simulators, Soaring Over California ends February 27th.
Yeah. I heard someone's opinion on this too recently, and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. Like, Soaring Over California was great for its time. But
it's one of those things you don't want to see it for too long.
Yeah.
It's great to bring it back every once in a while.
Well, after doing it a couple of times, it's like, yeah, the transitions aren't great. Like, at least with Soaring Over the World, they created a transition between scenes for most. I think one or two don't really have a transition, but like they, even though they're quote unquote jump scares, like the plane flying right at you or whatever, but they're better than the California ones. You're just like, oh, I'm on a golf course. Oh, I'm in an orange grove. I'm going up a mountain. Oh, I'm in a river. Like it doesn't really flow together. That makes sense.
Are you trying to say it looks like it was filmed by your dad?
Yes, it's like this is our California vacation. A 2-week vacation summarized in 4 minutes. Yeah. Basically, Exactly. That's exactly what it is.
Anyway.
I don't know. I just...
I gotta look for his name in the credits.
Yeah. Film's original.
Yeah. For the Sword Over California.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. After seeing it again, after not seeing it again for a while, I'm like, yeah, Sword Over the World, they kind of improved it. Sword Over the World is still, it's good, but I don't know. They both have their pluses and minuses.
Let's be honest, the best thing about the original is the original score.
That's true. The music is...
Even though they technically use it in the new one, they had to screw with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know.
And the orange grove smell.
Right.
That was the other part.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, that... I showed you the video of that, right? When I did that that attraction in Pigeon Forge that was...
Yes, you told... Well,
literally designed by
I didn't see the video, but I looked it up when you...
Yeah.
...were talking about it. Yeah.
Very similar. I forgot the name of it now. What'd they call it? They called it...
I don't recall, but...
I can't remember it now off the top of my head. I have to go look it up again. But anyway, it was actually very good.
Yeah.
For a standalone...
Attraction.
Pay-per-ride attraction.
Yeah. Did you see the story, though, about that mystery construction that Hollywood Studios finally was revealed?
No, I guess I'm not... I haven't seen that one yet.
Must
have missed that one.
It was, right outside of Muppets and across from Baseline.
Oh.
Half House.
The reason that Baseline was closed.
No, I don't think.
Wasn't closed at one time?
They were doing a few, improvements. Like, the outdoor section was closed briefly, or parts of the outdoor section. Anyway.
So you're talking about hydraulics.
Yes, hydraulics, yeah. And when you look at the menu for this, it's basically a snack stand.
Well, it says it's a snack stand.
First of all, hydraulics, does it fit in with the Grand Avenue theme, I guess? Is it like an old service station type theme?
I don't know what it's supposed to be, yeah. See, it says guests will find candy-painted cinnamon rolls.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Mini churros, frozen slushies, optional alcohol, and stuff like popcorn, cotton candy, and Mickey's ice cream novelties. I don't know, unless they just felt like that area needed another snack place.
I guess, but they're savory churros topped with Coca-Cola and bourbon candied bacon, sriracha aioli, and scallions. I'm like, that does not sound good at all.
It's like, this is the place where we experiment. That's why they call
it. Yeah, so it's like a Coke stand by Coca-Cola, because everything has something Coca-Cola in it. And they have frozen slushies, which my kids, that would be the thing they would want, is a frozen slushie. So I guess every time I go to Baseline now,
basically
I'm going to have to walk over there and get them a slushie. So.
It's basically a frozen Coke, isn't it? I mean,
basically.
Okay.
They have a really old school menu, though, like the old school.
What does it have?
Like McDonald's type menu?
Oh.
No, well, if only.
You said old school.
But it looks like you can get some adult beverages there, too. I see on the menu a Jack Daniels and Coke. A rum and Coke, and some kind of vodka with Coke.
Pretty much all the alcohols you ever mix with Coke.
Okay. Yeah. So they're, I mean...
Coca-Cola.
Even though, isn't this guy from Pepsi now on the board or whatever, from Disney or not on the board? He's CFO, right?
Yeah, something like that. He used
to. They're
still
doubling down on Coke, so...
Yeah. It's like they're rubbing it in his face.
Yeah. Right. We'll see. We'll see if Coke... stand strong still after this guy gets done with it.
Right. I don't know. I was thinking about this not too long ago. If they really wanted to, I mean, they wouldn't because of the expense, but if they really wanted to, they could bring a popular attraction from the past back, even improve it somewhat if they wanted to, and people would probably accept it.
It would actually
probably do well. I mean, because I thought of this not too long ago, but I mean, the cost of it itself just to rebuild it would probably be way more than they would ever dare to
$60 billion.
Yeah, well, I don't know, it would be that much. Would it ever dare to take on?
Well,
right?
Isn't that what they're investing? So,
yeah, but they're not investing. They got the past money. I guarantee you. So,
okay, so if you could resurrect one,
Just one?
And improve it. Which one would it be? If just one, if you could somehow convince Josh D'Amaro and Bob Iger to approve this, which one?
Well, I mean, I've got to go with the Horizons concept. I mean, it could always still work now.
So where
would you
bring it back to Epcot?
Well, of course. I would put it right there where Mission Space is. It's not doing that well.
Honestly, But you got a Space 220. What are you going to do?
Excuse me. I forgot we do have that to consider.
You could put it at Wonders of Life somehow, maybe.
You could just kind of move it over a little bit and make it connects to Space 220. Put it between.
The pre-show thing of Guardians of the Galaxy where he's like, can't wait to ride Horizons. Like, it's the next door, so
it's there back. You go.
You can ride Horizons.
Now, the only thing that'll be missing from that will be the veggie fruit fruit. So
yeah, that make a pre-show thing with that. Bring them back to...
Put them in the pre-show of Soarin'.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, yeah.
Since that's basically the area they were in.
Yeah.
I think Soarin', it ended up going outside. From my understanding, the theater is still intact, like behind the wall. I don't know. I mean, that could be untrue. That could just be one of those rumor things.
Interesting. I'd have to look. I wonder if we have like aerial pictures.
Because you know, when you're facing the Soarin' facade, I guess we'll say inside, how they have that little area over there with the benches the exit?
Mm-hmm.
You notice that there's like a big area like right behind there. Yeah. I think that's kind of where the theater entrance was. It's just walled off. But now whether the theater is still actually behind there, I kind of doubt. But I have heard that before. Where those benches are kind of reminds me of this that used to be the waiting area for. And I think it was in that exact part. I think that's the section.
They never moved those benches. They were always there, if I remember.
I don't think it's the exact same ones. But, I mean, they're in a similar area.
Yeah. I just remember there being a lot of benches there.
The queue, I guess, for Kitchen Cabaret or Food Rocks or whichever one. Whichever incarnation you liked best.
Hmm.
But the Kitchen Cabaret was kind of a product of the moment, I think.
Yeah.
It did have a catchy
song. Catchy stuff, yeah. It
did have a particularly catchy song, like I said, with
Veggie Fruit Fruit, yeah. So, back to Horizons, though, let's say you leave Mission Space because of Space 220. You demolish or somehow incorporate it into Wonders of Life building, maybe expand behind it too or something. What would you change about Horizons to make it modern, more modern? Would it still be an Omnimover? Would it still be...
Well, I just think you would take some advantage of some of the technological advances as far as how to... Yeah, and you would have to keep the ride concept as far as the vehicles similar. It may not be exactly the same, but you'd have to have the vehicles facing the scenes, or else it wouldn't be, you know what I mean? It wouldn't quite be the same. I don't know. I mean, obviously it would have more updated animatronics in it.
Yeah.
Probably incorporate some screens. I mean, they kind of did then anyway, but they weren't as good as the screens we have now. They incorporated video in Horizons back even way back then.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest parts was the video call where it's like...
They can make it look more realistic now.
Yeah, right. It was like, they could definitely make that look better than
But think
did.
Of it, how many of the concepts in that have actually still yet to become reality? I mean, there's still quite a few.
Yeah, I wish I had a robot that would...
Right.
Shave my,
just vacuum.
Yeah.
Well, I guess in a way you kind of had a robot that can vacuum, but didn't quite look the same.
Yeah, not the same.
But, you know, things like that.
I always wanted to eat in an underwater restaurant or whatever. That would have been cool. There was certain things that really stood out.
Living in space, which although we're kind of close to that.
I mean, possibly.
Yeah. But I mean, like I said, there's still a lot of things that they just haven't done. I mean, the whole, what was it? The ending scenes, people thriving in the desert. We don't exactly have that. People thriving in space. We don't exactly have that. People thriving into the ocean. We don't exactly have that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these were concepts that we're thinking we'd be doing 40 years ago, you know, and here we are, it's not even close.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Maybe you could reimagine those ending scenes to something more realistic.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Almost exactly. Well, Horizon Turns would have been 41 this year, right?
So. Yeah. Sad. And it's been closed longer than it was open at this point.
Most Future World attractions have been.
Yeah.
Sad. Yeah, they changed them way too quick, in my opinion. But
I feel like that's why they wouldn't ever rebuild Horizons, is because it would be outdated too fast. Again, like,
I think it'd update some of the concepts to stuff that we think is still a ways off, you know?
Right. Well, it's like,
obviously some of the concepts that were in it are still a ways off, it seems like.
But it's almost like Carousel of Progress, where you have all these scenes set up. It's like, it takes a whole lot more investment to just rebuild a bunch of the scenes than it does to, like, switch out a video. Like,
well, that's why I said this was kind of fantasy, because no one's going to put that kind of money into it.
Right. But I was like, Star Tours, for example, can be updated very easily, because you just throw in a new video and change the simulator programming to match it.
Well, speaking of Star Tours, I think it would be a good idea to throw in the classic video as an option.
That would be cool, yeah. Like, maybe you just have one and you could request it. But that, too many people would probably pick that one, and the line would be too long, right?
Yeah, to start with.
Or are you just saying make it a random throw?
Yeah,
it
one of the random choices. And then you'd be surprised when you get it. Just make it not pop up as often as some of the other ones, but have it as an option.
How would you
change out 3PO though, right?
That's what I was going to say. Would you try to bring Rex back and be like, hey, I'm normally DJing, but I came back for one more day to, like,
you could do the old scenes and somehow make 3PO do the lines.
Yeah. It's my first day. No.
Yeah.
I don't think
some of the lines. But no, it would be neat if they could incorporate it somehow.
Yeah.
But.
Or at least parts of it, maybe. Yeah. I think we mentioned that before. Like, you could do some of it.
Of all the concepts that they've changed, as far as imagination goes, none of them compares to the original concept, and they could probably improve upon that a little bit.
That's definitely a ride that needs love.
But I mean, that is the attraction that I can say without a doubt that it went from good to horrible to a step above horrible. I mean, out of all the ones that they messed with.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't have that long of a wait time.
Never, hardly, yes.
I mean, back in the day, whenever it was Journey into Imagination, it had a much longer line than what we're seeing now.
Oh, yeah. Here's an odd one that I would like to see come back, but you could modernize it, because, again, they would never rebuild this because of how simplistic it is. But Mr. Toad in Magic Kingdom. They would never rebuild it like it is, because it's so, you know, cardboard cutouts of things moving around. But modernize it.
Yeah. That's just one that I could say I wish they never did away with.
Yeah. I think the problem is they would never do Mr. Toad again, because it's like nobody
remembers Mr. Toad.
Remembers it.
Yeah.
Like, the people our age would, obviously.
They've kept it in Disneyland because it's a classic. It was one of the originals.
Opening day.
Yeah.
But.
And even though they've kind of changed some of the surroundings with it a little bit.
So they probably would not go with that as the IP. They'd probably do, like, something
Cars.
Else. Yeah, I was like, if they did Cars, though, then it's like, you have Radiator Springs Racers. You can't.
Yeah. Can't really do that.
You could do a version of it, but it wouldn't be as. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I would love to see something like that back in Fantasyland, but where would you build it? I don't know. It's a good question.
Yeah, there's not too many Fantasyland attractions Magic Kingdom attractions that you would think you could bring back, and it would be, there's not too many that are gone, to be honest. There's only a handful that have been replaced.
Swan boats.
Right.
Actually, it would be cool.
I mean, the buildings that are probably messed with the most are the ones, one of them's currently not being used, where Stitch was, and the other was Buzz. So it's now Buzz. Those two have probably been switched out the most of any of the attractions in all of Magic Kingdom.
Speaking of, bring back Alien Encounter.
I would be all scare for that. Everybody. It was better than Stitch, that's for sure.
That's true. Yeah. Too scary. That's the problem.
Yeah.
For kids.
Well, I mean, the two attractions there prior to that were Flight to the Moon and Mission to Mars. Flight to the Moon was very brief stay, if I'm not mistaken.
How hard would it be to dismantle and move it to Hollywood Studios? Because if you could, because don't they own Alien now? 20th Century Fox, wasn't
that? Yeah, I do have it through that, yeah.
Because there's an IP you could, and they keep remaking new movies of Alien, right? But there you go. Bring that back. Bring back the Sigourney Weaver, too.
Yeah, right.
She had the same Peter Pan neck problems.
Not exactly.
Problems. Just kidding. Actually, she didn't even move her neck, did she? She just moved her eyes.
Moved it. Well, she moved
it. It was
her
like head. Very, like.
Kind of going with there. It was like a sudden.
Right. Like Peter Pan. And the whole, like, I'll move it slowly and then snap it back.
Not quite. Hers are more fluid.
Anyway, my point is, dude, there's right there. Move it to Hollywood Studios. Put it. There's all kinds of places you put it there.
And the Wicked Witch of the West was one of the more impressive animatronics of its day.
Really was.
Or just fluid motion.
For late 80s, that thing was.
Yeah.
I thought it was. I remember as a kid thinking it was a real person. I did. I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was a real person. I
thought
like,
it was really. What's the actress's name?
Yes, right. Well,
come to life.
I thought it was a real person.
It resurrected
when I was a kid.
You know, I was still, when you were talking about all that, though, I was still going back to what would you do
Epcot?
With. Well, I mean, well, no, Epcot, I mean, it's pretty obvious. A lot of the old ones, but there's probably more. Loved older ones there, believe it or not. There is some of the ones that are missing from Magic Kingdom.
The Mickey Mouse reviews.
Yeah, right. Magic Kingdom is missing what?
Country Bear Chamboree.
Well, it's been a little bit.
We'll see what they do with it.
I mean, it's missing, gosh, what is it missing? It's missing the Toad.
The Keelboats.
Missing, yeah, it's missing the Keelboats. It's missing 20,000 Leagues.
Okay, just to throw this in there, the Rivers of America at Disneyland is a very active, lively river. Even though they lost their keelboats, they still have the canoes, they have the Columbia, they have the Mark Twain, and the railroad essentially is part of it too, which it's like you kind of see it on the Disney World one, but it's not nowhere nearly as elaborate. And
so why do we only have the Mark Twain? Was it there?
And the rafts? I was gonna say, don't they? Yeah. So it's like, dang, we need like a busier Rivers of America, or use some of that real estate
for something else.
Yeah.
Bring back the keelboats.
Yeah, something. I mean,
no one would know what it was for now.
Right.
Not too many people.
No, they wouldn't know the keelboats. Yeah.
Oh, well, they had Snow White's Adventures that used to be over there. Traded it for the
Mine Train.
Mine Train,
which,
basically.
Mine Train's fine. It's cute, but.
Is it better than Scary Adventures? I don't
probably,
know.
Probably, honestly. But, like, Pinocchio, they don't have Pinocchio at Disney World.
That's true.
Of course,
a lot
of people say put it in Germany, but at Epcot, but.
I don't think they would recreate.
Yeah,
I don't think they would recreate Pinocchio.
I don't think it would do well. For a while, they only wanted e-ticket attractions, but I wouldn't consider Ratatouille's e-ticket, would you? Not anymore, anyway.
That still has a pretty long line at Epcot.
I mean, Frozen is technically not an e-ticket either, but it became that just because of the... It's not... The ride itself
You're
is
trying to say it wasn't an e-ticket when it was Maelstrom? Put the name
Frozen
on it and it became an e-ticket.
Right. But it shouldn't be an e-ticket, honestly, is what I'm saying. So
bring back the Maelstrom. No.
So put Pinocchio in Germany, because you need a ride in that section of World Showcase for the kids to do something. So
you need a Pinocchio in Germany.
Something. I mean, didn't it already have, like, they were going to put some kind of ride there, and there's a show building ready to go?
Yeah, supposedly. But then again, this is part of one of those blue sky projects for Epcot, I guess you'll say.
I know. Like, but again, it's
like Mount Fiji.
It's a people eater. They should do that.
But I think they ultimately used Mount Fiji with Mount Everest over at Animal Kingdom, right? For right. their original.
Some a mountain coaster.
Part of the concept.
Yeah, they took the idea and then converted it into that, I think, yeah.
But still the last original ride concept, just saying. They need that. Indeed. They need one of those. They need to let the Imagineers come up with a good story, yeah. non-IP, and just
they
let
need
it
Joe
be.
Rohde back. That's who should be running Imagineering is Joe Rohde.
Well, see, we're still talking about bringing people back who are aging.
Well, that's true. He's no spring chicken, but
we can't come up with any names that are new blood type.
Who's running it now, though? Isn't it the
older?
Well, I forgot his name.
All we do is go from one old guy to the next. That's what we like to do here.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, is it? It's Barbara Boozer now? Is
that her name? I don't know.
She's president of Walt Disney Imagineering.
Okay. I haven't heard anything much out of her, so.
Because it was, Bob Weiss or something? What was the guy's name?
Might be.
I saw it, Bruce Vaughn was returning, but he's not heading. He's not president of Imagineering. Anyway. Yeah, why not get Joe Rohde back? I don't understand.
Because Joe Rohde may not want to come back at this point.
I think he would. Because he's got the Yeti to fix.
He's got the Yeti he's got to finish before he dies. That way.
I mean, he said he was gonna, but JPEG made him retire early.
So he should come back just for that. Think they'll ever fix the Yeti, even with or without Joe. Think they'll ever even bother. I just don't have hope for that.
I don't either. Yeah, I don't think they will.
Yeah, just because it would have to take the ride down for too long a period of time, I think.
Probably. Animal Kingdom doesn't have enough as it is to...
Yeah, to afford Everest to go down.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. It's hard enough to get people back there to Everest either. Like, Everest isn't as... Like, if it was near the front of the park, it would have a much larger weight than it does, I think.
Well, it's the main reason people go to the back, that corner, so...
It's the draw back there, but...
Yeah. If there were other things back there that you could do besides Everest, then it might be a little more appealing, but pretty much it. I mean, you have Kali, but I mean, that's usually a time of year type thing, and do you really want to get wet?
Yep.
Some people opt out for that reason alone.
There's not really anything in Animal Kingdom that I'd want to bring back, because...
Exactly.
The Disney Radio River Cruise.
The river. I think they could utilize the boats. I mean, that would be a good idea, because, again, it was supposed to be kind of a... The original concept was a ride / transportation. It was like a form of entertaining transportation, is basically what it was supposed to be. And people just never got it. If they reworked it, I mean, they already have all that river space down there where they put a boat. Mm-hmm. If they reworked it a little bit, maybe made it seem a little more obvious of what it's supposed to be, maybe that would work. I mean, I think that was one thing they could still utilize.
Yeah, they really need to use the water way in some way. Of course, the amphitheater that they built doesn't do anything except people waiting on their families to get out of Everest. That's the only thing that people do.
But when you said Animal Kingdom and thinking about bringing something back, it really hasn't lost a whole lot.
Yeah, not much. A few things have changed, but...
They're mainly shows.
Primeval World, I don't want coming back.
Right, or Camp Minnie Mickey.
Yeah, I don't want that either.
I mean, not that it was bad, but I mean, you put Pandora there. You can't possibly say you want that back over Pandora.
Wasn't there Jungle Book show before Nemo? What was before Nemo?
I think Tarzan was before Nemo.
Tarzan, okay.
I think they did do Jungle Book at one time, though.
It was like the opening was Jungle Book. Yeah. I never saw any.
The shows have been interchangeable, most of them.
Yeah, and Nemo's, it's okay.
But as far as like
still decent.
Something that I wish they could bring back as an actual story to the safari, that would probably be good.
Actually, I enjoyed that a lot, actually.
Yeah, having an actual story to it, so that would probably be a good one. That would be the only thing I can think there. I don't even know if I should bother with Hollywood Studios. It's so much no longer even, it's no longer the same. It's changed more than any of the parks.
Yeah. I was going to say Great Movie Ride, but the problem with that one was, you know, it gets outdated to a point where a lot of people didn't know what...
Well, they could
have. Singing in the Rain, and they may know Mary Poppins, but, like, some of the old stuff, like,
once again, it was supposed to be the great movie ride, not the current movie ride.
Yeah. But again, that's the point is, you know, no one cares about the glamour days of Hollywood from the 40s is what
Well, and the other issue was they were limited in what they can do because they don't own every great movie, so.
That too, yeah. Although now that they own so much of Fox and 20th Century Fox and all that, they definitely could throw a new...
See, they would still have to not be able to use big name franchises like Jurassic Park, for instance, or Harry Potter. You know, none of those would be...
Yeah, obviously, even some of the Marvel stuff, they still can't use because of Universal, too, but...
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of big name stuff that they wouldn't be able to use. They were lucky to get what they did in some cases because they had bigger plans for Oz, and then they had to scale that back.
Right. Yeah.
After a miscommunication with MGM, so.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah, there was a lot, and the ending thing, you know, still had a lot of old movies in it. Like, mm-hmm. they didn't have much modern stuff in that old, mm-hmm. at the old ending.
Well, they changed it over the years.
A little bit, but they didn't change it a lot.
Right.
But it was still like, they could have done a newer version of it, but yeah, it's still going to get outdated quick, and then people, their rewritability.
Now, if they had done, since they own all of the material, the great Disney movie ride, then, you know, that would have
been... I mean...
Since they have so many movies in their catalog.
How about this? Instead of, like, movies, you went through, like, the classic animated films and did, like, a scene from each.
You know, I know I'd be in the minority here, but I'd like to see them do their classic live-action movies.
Okay.
Imagine having a Blackbeard scene.
That would be awesome, actually.
But that would only be awesome to a select few of us, so.
Which scene would you pick is the question.
Right.
The casino scene at the end, maybe? Or
I don't know. Does Peter Ustinov's family have a problem with using his likeness? How much would that cost?
Like, what scene could you actually put in a ride that... Because there's certain one, it has to be in a set, like maybe the restaurant scene or something.
Well, you know.
I don't see him, but I can smell him.
Right.
Anyway, it's kind of perfect. Wait,
speaking of when I said about using the rights of something like that, you know, that's one of the reasons why in the Casablanca scene that it's only Humphrey Bogart speaking.
Yeah.
Because the family of Ingrid Bergman did not. Allow her voice to be used. Yeah,
he is looking at you, kid.
Yeah, he's doing all the talking. Like she's just sitting there.
Yeah, she's just standing there staring at him.
Yeah.
Interesting.
There's no reciprocation.
Interesting.
Yeah,
they definitely could have improved the Tarzan animatronic. It's just like he didn't.
Yeah, that scene
wasn't even an animatronic. That was just a.
That was one of the weaker scenes, rope. In my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right, well, I think we've rambled on long enough for this episode. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That is all, Facebook, X, and Instagram. I keep forgetting the artist formerly known as Twitter. That is all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We have a YouTube channel, which you can find links to that. Where, Adam?
Our website, travelingwiththemouse.com, and our email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And on our website, we have links to other things like a travel agent brand. If you want to book your next trip, you can find all that on our website.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.
Bye. Into the past.
To
ride the rides that... Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's not say that.
Yeah. I haven't thought about the Angry Video Game Nerd in a minute.
I don't think... Has he done a new one in a while?
He probably has.
I just haven't
probably watched. Not even on YouTube anymore.
I think he still doesn't.